This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Washington, D.C. this morning is teeming with red hats.
So why are you here today?
To see President Trump before he gets inaugurated as president. Greatest American comeback in American history.
As the clock ticks down to Donald Trump's second inauguration, President Biden has issued numerous preemptive pardons, including one for Dr. Anthony Fauci and one for former Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Mark Milley, who called Donald Trump a fascist. Also pardoned members of the House Select Committee on the January 6th Capitol riot. Now, last night, the president-elect promised to release many of those who were convicted of taking part in the riot, telling his supporters,
"Tomorrow, everybody in this very large arena will be very happy with my decision on the J6 hostages."
The swearing-in will be held inside the Capitol Rotunda because of the cold weather. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The office of a Wisconsin congressman was set on fire over the weekend. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
A 19-year-old Menasha man was arrested for setting fire to the office space of U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman in a Fond du Lac strip mall early Sunday morning. Police arrested the man soon after the fire was extinguished. He admitted to starting the blaze in protest of the TikTok ban that went into effect this weekend.
Grothman was among the congressional majority that voted to ban TikTok last year. Police are asking the public for more information after a person was found shot early Sunday morning on La Crosse's north side. The shooting victim was taken to the hospital after being found around 2:33 a.m. Sunday on the 1800 block of George Street. Police didn't release names or the condition of the shooting victim, but said that the shooting happened after an argument between the people involved. Police said that the shooting is an isolated incident. Anyone with tips can contact La Crosse Police.
President Donald Trump is promising tariffs on imported products from overseas, as well as from our neighbors to the north and south. How would a tariff on imported oil from Canada affect gas prices in the Midwest? Here's Patrick DeHaan, petroleum analyst at Gas Buddy.
Definitely the Midwest and Rockies. These are the two regions of the country that have long had stable access and pipelines that flow directly down from Canada. And that's why the Great Lakes and Rockies would be much more affected by this tariff potentially than anyone else.
DeHaan says that the increased cost of oil due to the tariffs and the added cost for refining it into fuel would be passed down to consumers here in the Midwest.
Never before have we seen basically the system that has worked, right? The status quo for decades could suddenly massively change overnight if Trump implements these massive tariffs. Having a tariff on Canadian oil, which is the primary oil we refine here in the Great Lakes, that would have a catastrophic impact on the type of oil that refineries here in our region are paying. And that's why it would be passed down to us.
From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
The national championship tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football's championship game is tonight in Atlanta. Ohio State against Notre Dame inside the Atlanta Falcons Mercedes-Benz Dome. It's the first time in 12 years the Fighting Irish have played in the championship. The Buckeyes were there in 2020. Notre Dame, 8.5-point underdogs. Kickoff on ESPN at 6:30. The Wisconsin Badgers say freshman defensive back Xavier Lucas signed a 2-year NIL agreement early last December to remain with the Badgers for another 2 more years. Lucas has since moved on to the Miami Hurricanes, has hired lawyers to fight the dispute. NBA, the Bucks beat the 76ers, 123-109. So how did the Bucks go from a 1-6 start to the season to now winning 4 in a row?
For us, you know, at times we were focused, at times we wasn't focused. But overall, we played a good game. It doesn't matter. We won the game. You know, now it's 4 in a row. Thank you, Mr. Dan. It doesn't matter. We won the game.
That's the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The cold weather advisory continues today, tonight, into tomorrow morning. Partly cloudy, high of 2 below 0 today. The wind chill factor pushing minus 20 to minus 30 all day. 15 below tonight, tomorrow. Sunny and a little warmer with a high of 4 above. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, 7 below 0.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever there'd be like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome one of Wisconsin's very own, comedian Tom Clark. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and I discuss award season. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Eagle. WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I can dig it.
Stop right on.
What's up?
Hey, man, what's your name?
Scary things.
Mother.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
Man, that weather, man.
Yeah, it'll take your breath away.
You know, man, it really is, you know, they frighten you to death. That's going to be 30 below the windshield. And I'm sitting at home over the weekend, afraid to venture outside. I mean, yeah, you know, if you go out there and you don't have on layers and the right kind of shoes and socks and gloves and hats and scarves, and if you have to do like so many people do, and that's not have transportation, Calvin. Maybe you stand on a bus stop or you have to walk blocks to go somewhere. Yeah, man, that's some bitter stuff, right?
Yeah, it's not only uncomfortable, but it's also dangerous. So, yeah, everyone stay safe out there.
Yeah, and we've got two more days of it. You know, Calvin, I think we may survive it, you know. But, man, it is bitter cold. And it's not just in, you know, Wisconsin, Calvin. It's almost all over the nation.
Yeah, I mean, it's spreading. I mean, they moved the inauguration inside today, much to the chagrin of people who paid a lot of money to be there. And, yeah, it's affecting the whole country.
I just got off the phone with someone who was going to be our guest this morning, Candy Stroud. And she had, you know, some expensive seats for the inauguration. She's been a part of. She said this is the first inauguration. I talked to her this morning. In 30 years, or three decades, same thing, that she wouldn't be in attendance at. So, you know, it is, you know, it's the 20th. It's the election. It's the inauguration day, but it's also Dr. King's holiday. And you know, I am going to you know, play another one of Dr. King's famous speeches this morning, called "The Other America." We'll do similar to what we did on Thursday. Give you an opportunity to respond, Calvin. If you'd be so kind, we're going to begin the Other American speech with Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King.
Now, there are several things that one could talk about before such a large, concerned, and enlightened audience. There are so many problems facing our nation and our world that one must take off anywhere. But today I would like to talk mainly about the race problem, since I'll have to rush right out and go to New York to talk about Vietnam tomorrow, and I've been talking about it a great deal this week and weeks before that. But I'd like to use as a subject from which to speak this afternoon the other America. And I use this subject because there are literally two Americas. One America is beautiful for situation. And in a sense, this America is overflowing with the milk of prosperity and the honey of opportunity. This America is the habitat of millions of people who have food and material necessities for their bodies, and culture and education for their minds, and freedom and human dignity for their spirits. In this America, millions of people experience every day the opportunity of having life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in all of their dimensions. And in this America, millions of young people grow up in the sunlight of opportunity. But tragically and unfortunately, there is another America. And this other America has a daily ugliness about it that constantly transforms the buoyancy of hope into the fatigue of despair. In this America, millions of work-starved men walk the streets daily in search for jobs that do not exist. In this America, millions of people find themselves living in rat-infested, vermin-filled slums. In this America, people are poor by the millions, and they find themselves perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. In a sense, the greatest tragedy of this other America is what it does to little children. Little children in this other America are forced to grow up with clouds of inferiority forming every day in their little mental skies. And as we look at this other America, we see it as an arena of blasted hopes and shattered dreams. Many people of various backgrounds live in this other America. Some are Mexican Americans, some are Puerto Ricans, some are Indians, some happen to be from other groups. Millions of them are Appalachian whites. Probably the largest group in this other America in proportion to its size in the population is the American Negro. The American Negro finds himself living in a triple ghetto, a ghetto of race, a ghetto of poverty, a ghetto is to deal with this problem, to deal with this problem of the two Americas. We are seeking to make America one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now let me say that the struggle for civil rights and the struggle to make these two Americas one America is much more difficult today than it was 5 or 10 years ago. For about a decade or maybe 12 years, We struggled all across the South in glorious struggles to get rid of legal, overt segregation and all of the humiliation that surrounded that system of segregation. In a sense, this was a struggle for decency. We could not go to a lunch counter in so many instances and get a hamburger or a cup of coffee. We could not make use of public accommodations. Public transportation was segregated, and often we had to sit in the back, and within transportation within cities, we often had to stand over empty seats because sections were reserved for whites only. We did not have the right to vote in so many areas of the South. And the struggle was to deal with these problems. Now, certainly they were difficult problems. They were humiliating conditions. And by the thousands, we protested these conditions. And we made it clear that it was ultimately more honorable to accept jail cell experiences than to accept segregation and humiliation. By the thousands, students and adults decided to sit in at segregated lunch counters to protest conditions there. And when they were sitting at those lunch counters, they were in reality standing up for the best in the American dream and seeking to take the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the formulation of the Constitution.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. So today is the holiday of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and to honor that, I am playing another one of his great speeches, The Other America. It points out the differences that still exist in this nation between the haves and the have-nots, not solely predicated on the color of one's skin, but the economic reality that people face and the injustice that exists. And, you know, at a time that we've got a new president being sworn into office, I ask that you listen to the contrast of what Dr. King was talking about in 1968 and 67 and what you are hearing from the soon-to-be inaugurated president, Donald Trump. 855-752-4842 is the number you're tuned into, a special edition of the Earl Ingram Show.
Talk to me, brother. You can't see what's going on.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it? I mean,
things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson.
When the UNCF, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College, I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Stay through my window, I watch her as she passes by. I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy to have a girl like her. It's truly a dream come true.
All right. Welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You could text us at that same number. It is not only the inauguration of 47th President of the United States, Donald Trump, but it's also Dr. King's holiday. And I've chosen to play another one of his great speeches that many probably have never heard, but it is telling. If you listen to the words, just how eerily he could be talking about today. And this is 58 years ago. The speech is The Other America. We'll continue this, Calvin, if you be so kind.
And the Declaration of Independence. Many things were gained as a result of these years of struggle. In 1964, the Civil Rights Bill came into being after the Birmingham Movement, which did a great deal to subpoena the conscience of a large segment of the nation to appear before the judgment seat of morality on the whole question of civil rights. After the Selma movement in 1965, we were able to get a voting rights bill. Now, all of these things represented strides, but we must see that the struggle today is much more difficult. It's more difficult today because we are struggling now for genuine equality. And it's much easier to integrate a lunch counter than it is to guarantee a livable income and a good solid job. It's much easier to guarantee the right to vote. than it is to guarantee the right to live in sanitary, decent housing conditions. It is much easier to integrate a public park than it is to make genuine, quality, integrated education a reality. And so today, we are struggling for something which says we demand genuine equality. It's not merely a struggle against extremist behavior toward Negroes. And I'm convinced that many of the very people who supported us in the struggle in the South are not willing to go all the way now. I came to see this in a very difficult and painful way in Chicago over the last year where I've lived and worked. Some of the people who came quickly to march with us in Selma and Birmingham were active around Chicago. And I came to see that so many people who supported morally and even financially what we were doing in Birmingham and Selma were really outraged against the extremist behavior of Bull Connor and Jim Clark toward Negroes rather than believing in genuine equality for Negroes. And I think this is what we've got to see now, and this is what makes the struggle much more difficult. And so as a result of all of this, we see many problems existing today that are growing more difficult. It's something that is often overlooked. But Negroes generally live in worse slums today than 20 or 25 years ago. In the North, schools are more segregated today than they were in 1954 when the Supreme Court's decision on desegregation was rendered. Economically, the Negro is worse off today than he was 15 and 20 years ago. And so the unemployment rate among whites at one time was about the same as the unemployment rate among Negroes. But today the unemployment rate among Negroes is twice that of whites. And the average income of the Negro is today 50% less than whites.
That is Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King in a speech in 1968, and the speech is talking about the other America. And as I stated earlier, if you were just joining us, I'm going to play this speech, hopefully, in close to its entirety in order for you to grasp a perspective of where we were back in 1968 and where we are now in 2025. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Eagle 1490 AM. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A Minnesota man was arrested on Friday after driving on railroad tracks. The Buffalo County Sheriff's Office said that they were called about a stalled car on the tracks on Highway 25 in Nelson. There, a vehicle was found stuck with one person inside. A train narrowly missed hitting the vehicle by less than 2 feet. According to the Sheriff's Office, the driver, a man from Wabasha, said he turned down the tracks thinking it was a road. He was arrested for OWI. Nobody was hurt in the incident.
Amtrak's Borealis line is set to receive more funding from the federal government. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddle.
It's almost $39 million coming from the Department of Transportation aimed at enhancing commuter rail options between Chicago and Minneapolis. The federal grant will support the popular route that began operations last May. There are stops in several Wisconsin communities, including Milwaukee, The Dells, and La Crosse. The service has already attracted over 100,000 riders since it started.
Senator Tammy Baldwin says that the investment will provide more travel opportunities for people in Wisconsin. We're in a cold snap through tomorrow night with dangerous wind chills down to around negative 30 degrees expected. With some safety tips, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Frostbite can happen in as little as 20 minutes in today's conditions. Frostbite symptoms can include pain, numbness, swelling, blisters, and skin discoloration. It's most common on your fingers, toes, nose, and ears. And frostbite may lead to permanent, irreversible tissue damage. A way to prevent it is to limit your time outdoors and warm your body up often if you're exposed to freezing temperatures. And if you believe that you have frostbite, go inside or seek shelter from the cold. Then, call your healthcare provider or visit the emergency room immediately to reduce your risk of tissue damage. Frostbite symptoms appear in three stages that include feeling cold, sore, and painful, which is frost nip. Then, pins and needles, which is surface frostbite. And the last, numbness, indicates a deep frostbite.
The Cooley region will have an extreme cold warning in effect from midnight until 9 a.m. tomorrow.
For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The third installment of the 28 Days franchise, titled 28 Years Later, opens in June 2025. Sources say despite the new chapter's $75 million budget, part of the new film was shot on an iPhone 15. This would make 28 Years Later the most expensive film ever to use smartphone technology, at least for cinematic purposes. We've come a long way since movies used to use flip phones. Just a little over a year ago, in late 2023, Norman Lear was being praised by everyone in Hollywood after his death at 101 years old. But Sally Struthers, who played Gloria on All in the Family, says that she was not a huge fan of Lear. During a recent appearance on the Let's Talk About That podcast, the two-time Emmy winner says Lear told her she was only cast because she had blue eyes and a fat face like Carol O'Connor, who played her father, Archie Bunker, on the show. Words hurt, even with two Emmys and a big bank account. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The cold weather advisory continues today, tonight, into tomorrow morning. Partly cloudy, high of 2 below zero today. The wind chill factor pushing minus 20 to minus 30 all day. 15 below tonight, tomorrow. Sunny and a little warmer with a high of 4 above. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 9 below.
This message is sponsored by WiscCaregiver.com. People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? WiscCaregiver.com gets you started. Choose between two great options. Become a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. Training is free, plus earn a $500 bonus. It's easy to start your new career. Learn more at WiscCaregiver.com.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will cover the inauguration in Washington, D.C., and also talk about who the next civil rights leader might be for Martin Luther King Day. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
All right. Welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Yeah, it's the inauguration day for the 47th president of the United States, Donald Trump. But it's also a Dr. King's day. And so I've chosen to play the Other America speech, a great speech from 1968. And just want you to take a little time out to, if you will, to listen to it. And then we'll respond and have questions afterwards. Calvin, if you'll continue, please.
These problems, we see them growing and developing every day. And we see the fact that the Negro economically is facing a depression in his everyday life that is more staggering than the depression of the 30s. The unemployment rate of the nation as a whole is about 4%. Statistics would say from the Labor Department that among Negroes it's about 8.4%. But these are the persons who are in the labor market, who still go to employment agencies to seek jobs, and so they can be calculated. The statistics can be gotten because they are still somehow in the labor market. But there are hundreds of thousands of Negroes who have given up. They've lost hope. They've come to feel that life is a long and desolate corridor for them with no exit sign. And so they no longer go to look for a job. There are those who would estimate that these persons who are called the discouraged persons would be 6 or 7% in the Negro community. And that means that unemployment among Negroes may well be 16%. And among Negro youth in some of our large urban areas, it goes to 30% and 40%. And so you can see what I mean when I say that in the Negro community, that is a major, tragic, and staggering depression that we face in our everyday lives. Now, the other thing that we've got to come to see now that many of us didn't see too well during the last 10 years, and that is that racism is still alive in American society and much more widespread than we realize. And we must see racism for what it is. It is a myth of the superior and the inferior race. It is the false and tragic notion that one particular group, one particular race, is responsible for all of the progress, all of the insights, and the total flow of history. And the theory that another group or another race is totally depraved, innately impure, and innately inferior. And in the final analysis, racism is evil because its ultimate logic is genocide. Hitler was a sick and tragic man who carried racism to its logical conclusion. He ended up leading a nation to the point of killing about 6 million Jews. And this is the tragedy of racism because its ultimate logic is genocide. If one says that I am not good enough to live next door to him, if one says that I am not good enough to eat at a lunch counter, or to have a good, decent job, or to go to school with him merely because of my race, he is saying consciously or unconsciously that I do not deserve to exist. To use a philosophical analogy here, racism is not based on some empirical generalization. It is based rather on an ontological affirmation. It is not the assertion that certain people are behind culturally or otherwise because of environmental conditions. It is the affirmation that the very being of a people is inferior. And this is the great tragedy of it. Now, I say that however unpleasant it is, we must honestly see and admit that racism is still deeply rooted all over America, is still deeply rooted in the North, and it's still deeply rooted in the South. Now, this leads me to say something about another discussion that we hear a great deal, and that is the so-called white backlash. And I would like to honestly say to you that the white backlash is merely a new name for an old phenomenon. It's not something that just came into being because shouts of black power, or because Negroes engaged in riots in Watts, for instance. The fact is that the state of California voted a fair housing bill out of existence before anybody shouted black power or before anybody rioted in Watts. It may well be that shouts of black power and riots in Watts and the Harlems and the other areas are the consequences of the white backlash rather than the cause of them. What it is necessary to see is that there has never been a single solid, monistic, determined commitment on the part of the vast majority of white Americans. The whole question of civil rights and on the whole question of racial equality. This is something that truth impels all men of goodwill to admit. It is said on the Statue of Liberty that America is the home of exiles. But it doesn't take us long to realize that America has been the home of its white exiles from Europe. But it has not evinced the same kind of maternal care and concern for its black exiles from Africa. And it is no wonder that in one of his sorrow songs, a Negro could sing out, "Sometimes I feel like a motherless child." What great estrangement, what great sense of rejection caused the people to emerge with such a metaphor as they looked over their lives. What I'm trying to get across is that our nation has constantly taken a positive step forward on the question of racial justice and racial equality. But over and over again, at the same time, it made certain backward steps. And this has been the persistence of the so-called white backlash. In 1863, the Negro was freed from the bondage of physical slavery. But at the same time, the nation refused to give him land to make that freedom meaningful. And at that same period, America was giving millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that America was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor that would make it possible to grow and develop, and refused to give that economic for the Negro was freedom to hunger, freedom to the winds and rains of heaven, freedom without roofs to cover their heads. He went on to say that it was freedom without bread to eat, freedom without land to cultivate. It was freedom and famine at the same time. But it does not stop there. In 1875, the nation passed a civil rights bill and refused to enforce it. In 1964, the nation passed a weaker civil rights bill, and even to this day, that bill has not been totally enforced in all of its dimensions. The nation heralded a new day of concern for the poor, for the poverty-stricken, for the disadvantaged, and brought into being a poverty bill. But at the same time, it put such little money into the program that it was hardly and still remains hardly a good skirmish against poverty. White politicians in suburbs talk eloquently against open housing and in the same breath contend that they are not racist. Now all of this and all of these things tell us that America has been backlashing on the whole question of basic constitutional and God-given rights for Negroes and other disadvantaged groups for more than 300 years. So these conditions, persistence of widespread poverty, of slums, and of tragic conditions in schools and other areas of life, all of these things have brought about a great deal of despair and a great deal of desperation, a great deal of disappointment and even bitterness in the Negro communities. And today all of our cities confront huge problems. All of our cities are potentially powder kegs as a result of the continued existence of these conditions. Many in moments of anger, many in moments of deep bitterness, engage in riots. Let me say, as I've always said, and I will always continue to say, that riots are socially destructive and self-defeating. I'm still convinced that nonviolence is the most potent weapon available to oppress people in their struggle for freedom and justice. I feel that violence will only create more social problems than they will solve, that in a real sense it is impractical for the Negro to even think of mounting a violent revolution in the United States. So I will continue to condemn riots and continue to say to my brothers and sisters that this is not the way.
All right, if you're just joining us, it's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Today is Dr. King's holiday. It is a certainly something that is, you know, over 20 years now. It's a federal holiday. And so I've chosen to play for you one of his great many speeches that, you know, people probably, most people have never heard, but just a powerful, powerful, impactful speech. That basically, if you close your eyes and listen to it, you think he's talking about 2025 and not 1968. 855-752-4842. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.
Listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Up North News Radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Matt Nair on Air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks
are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first.
Wait, have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going...
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on air.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. If you're just joining us, I'm listening. We're listening to the Other America speech from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King in 1968. We're certainly going to entertain your calls. We're almost completed with the speech, and we're certainly going to have some dialogue. Calvin, if you'll continue the conversation, please.
Continue to affirm that there is another way, but at the same time, it is as necessary for me to be as vigorous in condemning the conditions which cause persons to feel that they must engage in riotous activities as it is for me to condemn riots. I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention. Now let me go on to say that if we are to deal with all of the problems that I've talked about, and if we are to bring America to the point that we have one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, there are certain things that we must do. The job ahead must be massive and positive. We must develop massive action programs all over the United States of America. in order to deal with the problems that I have mentioned. Now, in order to develop these massive action programs, we've got to get rid of one or two false notions that continue to exist in our society. One is the notion that only time can solve the problem of racial injustice. I'm sure you've heard this idea. It is the notion almost that is something in the very flow of time that will miraculously cure all evils. And I've heard this over and over again. There are those, and they're often sincere people, who say to Negroes and their allies in the white community that we should slow up and just be nice and patient and continue to pray, and in 100 or 200 years the problem will work itself out, because only time can solve the problem. I think that is an answer to that myth, and it is that time is neutral. It can be used either constructively or destructively.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. This is, again, Dr. King's The Other America speech that he wrote in 1967 and gave to a university as we were in the midst of a horrific time with cities burning and people outraged and a divide that this nation hadn't seen, historically. And it was young people from my generation at that point in time who were dissatisfied with the way things were. And so if you close your eyes today, you could very easily be transformed back to that point in time. Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, 855-752-4842. You're tuned in to a special edition of the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Dom Salvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, it's Inauguration Day. Tune in to hear some historical context and perspective from our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. President-elect Trump and Melania Trump departing St. John's Church in Washington, headed to the White House for tea with the President and First Lady. Earlier this morning, President Biden issued preemptive pardons for the January 6th committee and for General Mark Milley, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who referred to Donald Trump as a fascist before the election. Also pardoned, the man who helped lead the country through COVID. Here's ABC's Karen Travers.
Dr. Anthony Fauci tells ABC he accepts the pardon from President Biden and is grateful for it. But he emphasized that he committed no crimes. Fauci did say to ABC the threats and possibility of prosecution, quote, creates immeasurable and intolerable distress on me and my family. Throughout his campaign, President-elect Donald Trump vowed to exact retribution on his political enemies. Fauci faced intense scrutiny and vitriol for the government's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
This is ABC News.